الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences in relation to sending salawat and salam, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, which is found in Kanzul Ummal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Man salla alayya fi yawmin mi'ata marra. Whoever sends salat upon me 100 times a day, qadallahu lahu mi'ata hajatin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 needs of such a person. سَبْعِينَ مِنْهَا لِآخِرَتِهِ 70 of those needs are related to the hereafter, the akhirah. وَثَلَاثِينَ مِنْهَا لِدُنْيَاهُ And 30 of those needs are related to the dunya. So how do we achieve this? You just heard. All you have to do is be successful in reciting Durood Sharif 100 times a day, which takes maybe 5 minutes maximum. Inshallah, if you develop a habit, if you develop this blessed habit in your life of reciting Durood Sharif, then all your needs will be taken care of, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala makes us successful in this regard. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We will speak about how Al-Quranul Kareem, if we study it with the lens of Ishq-e Rasool, love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find throughout the Quran how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We will see that madh, that praise. We will see Allah extolling His Nabi alayhi salam. We will see it everywhere. But what is the condition? The condition is when we study Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we study it with a pure heart and a pure mind. And with Ishq-e Rasool, love of the Prophet alayhi salam flowing through our veins. We will see all of this. So inshallah, I'll mention a few verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And what the commentators, the Mufassirun, have said in regards to those verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, which are in praise of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he would instruct the Sahaba, he would teach the Sahaba, who is the greatest teacher. The Prophet ﷺ said, Bu'ithtu mu'allima, I was sent as a teacher. When he would teach the Sahaba would sometimes say in reply, Ra'ina ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please be mindful of our state. What they meant was that grant us an opportunity to fully understand your blessed words. So sometimes in the first go, they were not able to understand. But this was no naqs or defect, ma'adallah, on the part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we will hear in the verse, how Allah ta'ala instructs the Sahaba, that whenever you listen to the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, listen attentively. So what happened? They said, Ra'ina ya Rasulullah. Now this word, Ra'ina, be mindful of our state. In the language of the non-Muslim, this had a negative connotation, a negative meaning. So the non-Muslims began using that to, ma'azallah, mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taunt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they began to utter it with this evil intention. Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala, Sahabi Rasul. And a Sahabi is he who can never ever hear anything against his beloved alayhi salam. So when he heard how the non-Muslims are ma'adhallah using this very same term, ra'ina, in a negative context, he confronted them. And he said, if I hear any of you using this word again, I will sever your head. How dare you use such a word for my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a negative context, negative connotation. The non-Muslims replied and they said to Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala, that you're rebuking us, but your own people use it. The Muslims themselves are using this word. So he was confused, he was perplexed. What happened? He went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to relay this. At that very moment, the following verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem was revealed, wherein Allah prohibited the Muslims from using the word ra'ina. That, oh believers, do not say ra'ina anymore. And instead they were told to say unzurna. Let's listen to that verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem, which is found in Surah Baqarah, verse 104. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu unzurna wasma'u. Translation, O believers, do not say ra'ina, which meant consider our state. Rather say, Your Excellency, look upon us and listen attentively in advance. So the Sahaba are being told to stop using the word ra'ina, and instead they are to use the word unzurna. Your Excellency, look upon us, the gaze of mercy. And the last bit of the verse, wasma'u. Not only that, Allah Ta'ala is saying to the Sahaba, to avoid this in future, to avoid having to say ra'ina and the words similar to that, when you listen to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen attentively right from the off. So you don't have to ask the Prophet alayhi salam to repeat himself. Look at how Allah jalla wa ala is showing us the adab, the etiquette of the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not trouble my beloved. Do not make him repeat things. Listen attentively yourself. This is Allah Ta'ala teaching us about the maqam of the Prophet alayhi salam. Now, under this verse in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, and you'll find these interpretations in many of the classical tafsir as well, it states, number one, honoring and revering the Prophets alayhi salam and maintaining proper etiquette in their presence, in their august court, is obligatory fard. It's fard upon every ummati to make sure that he is meeting the proper etiquette, adab of the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any word that carries even the slightest bit of disrespect is forbidden to use in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, we learn from this verse that any word which is dhu ma'na, any word which has dual meanings, double meanings, one good meaning, one bad meaning, it's prohibited to use such a word in the court of the Prophet alayhi salam, even if you intended the good meaning. Allahu Akbar. This is the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the sensitivity. Look at the ihtiyat. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that you have a word which is used in a good context, And it also is used at times in a negative context. It has double meanings. You are not allowed to use such a word when addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Another thing, Allah Ta'ala himself is teaching us the etiquette of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's presence and issues related to his venerations. Meaning Allah Ta'ala is issuing a command here to respect his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In the dunya, the kings and the worldly leaders, their own courtiers, their own ministers have to tell you, this is the etiquette. When you come to the royal court, make sure you don't do this, make sure you don't do that. But here, Lord of all the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us and informing us that when you come to the court of the beloved alayhi salam, when you even open your lips and start to speak, you should keep this in mind, this in mind, this in mind. This is how much Allah loves his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And lastly, we learn that disrespect, bi'adabi, in the court of the prophets alayhi salam, and in particular our prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is kufr, disbelief. If you say anything that's slightly disrespectful even, in the court of the Prophet alayhi salam, a person loses his iman. That's why we have to be very, very careful when speaking about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ma'azallah, today we have people amongst us who are devoid of ishq rasul. They don't understand the etiquette. They don't understand the maqam. They've never studied about the seerah. How the sahaba were willing to sacrifice everything for the Prophet alayhi salam. How the sahaba wouldn't even knock fully on the door of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to use their nails out of adab, so that less noise would be created. And there you hear them, they say, oh, the Prophet alayhi salam was just like me and you. Ma'adallah. The Prophet alayhi salam came and went, he delivered the message. This is what they teach and spread, na'udhu billah. But alhamdulillah, we are fortunate in that our akabirin, our scholars, our elders, and this is a whole chain going back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, they taught us about the adab of this blessed court. If you show utmost adab and etiquette here, inshallah, that will preserve your iman and you will attain much blessings and barakat as well. So, going back to it, the Quran from place to place teaches us about the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his status, his exalted rank, his excellence, his virtue. Let's listen to another verse. First, the tafsir. Once the Prophet alayhi salam mentioned that before the creation of my ummah, when my ummah was in the form of clay, they were presented before me in their forms, just as they were presented to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. I was granted the knowledge of who amongst them would believe in me and who would disbelieve in me. This is what the Prophet alayhi salam said. When this news reached the hypocrites, the munafiqun, they mockingly said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presumes that he knows who amongst those not yet born will believe in him and who will disbelieve, whereas we live with him and he does not recognize us. Na'udhu billah, this is what they're claiming. This is what they're saying to mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the Prophet alayhi wa sallam do when he heard about this? He ascended the pulpit, minbar, and he gave an address. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified Allah jalla wa ala, and he said, what is the matter with those who object to my knowledge? From today until the day of judgment, there is nothing that will happen about which you can ask me and I will not inform you. The Prophet alayhi salam, showing the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, is saying openly, this is a challenge. The Prophet alayhi salam is saying to the people, whatever will happen until the day of judgment, ask me about it, I will inform you. Who can make such a claim? Except the one who has been given that knowledge by Allah jalla wa ala. And this is our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has that knowledge. What happened thereafter? Companion, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Hudhafa Sahmi radiallahu anhu stood up. And he asked a question, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is my father? The Prophet ﷺ replied, Hudhafa. Because prior to that, there was confusion. The Prophet ﷺ said, Hudhafa. And not to go into detail, but who is the biological father? This is a very secretive matter. Right from the off, the conception of the child. It's a private thing. In those days, today someone can argue we've got DNA system and this and that and advancements in technology. The Prophet ﷺ was aware of who the real father of this companion was. And he said straight away, Hudhafa is your father. Then what happened? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are content with Allah as our Lord, Islam as our religion, the Quran as our Imam and guide, and you as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We seek your forgiveness. The Prophet alayhi salam replied, will you desist? Will you desist? Then he descended from the pulpit and Allah Almighty revealed the following verse. Listen carefully. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَإِنْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Translation, it does not befit Allah that He leaves the believers in the condition which you are in at present until He separates the impure from the pure. And O masses, Allah does not inform you regarding the unseen. However, He chooses from His messengers whomsoever He wills. So believe in Allah and His messengers. And if you embrace faith and become pious, then there is a great reward for you. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a great commentator of the Quran, a mufassir, he mentions a few points under this verse, in the tafsir of this verse. Let me go through them. He says, one point we learn is that objecting to the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and claiming that he lacked knowledge of certain matters is the way of the munafiqoon, the hypocrites. Because who actually made this objection initially? Who actually tried to mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge of the unseen? The munafiqun, the hypocrites. So today even, where we have alhamdulillah, lovers of the Prophet alayhi salam, Muslims across the globe who mention the praise of the Prophet alayhi salam, based on Quran and Hadith. Unfortunately, you have people who they spend their entire lives trying to negate things from the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't have this, he didn't have that, he didn't have knowledge of this. Here, Mufti Saab says categorically that the one who tries to find faults in the Prophet ﷺ and his knowledge of the unseen, which you just heard in the verse, Allah grants to whosoever He wants. That وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah chooses from His messengers whomsoever He wants for this special knowledge of the unseen. Whoever denies that today, whoever looks for defects in the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ today, then he's doing exactly like the hypocrites did 1400 years ago. Number two, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, it is the duty of a Muslim to accept all the praiseworthy attributes of the Prophet ﷺ without dispute. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu begged for forgiveness. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we ask for your forgiveness. We are not those who deny. We are not those who negate these qualities. This is the manner of a Muslim. Number three, Allah Ta'ala has bestowed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with knowledge of everything that will occur until the Day of Judgment. How do we know this? The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, he declared, ask whatever you wish. Now, do you think somebody who does not have knowledge regarding events till Qiyamah will say such a thing? In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, ask me anything you want that will occur until the Day of Judgment and I will inform you. I will tell you. Will the Prophet ﷺ make such a claim if he didn't have that knowledge? Think about it logically for a second. Allah Ta'ala gave him that knowledge and he was able to inform people as well. And lastly, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, based on this hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is aware of those who will believe in him and those who will not believe in him, those who disbelieve in him. Again, this is all under this topic of Ilmul Ghaib of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It all comes under there, all these discussions. The Prophet Alayhi Wasallam has said he knows. Who are we to deny? We accept, we affirm, we praise the Prophet Alayhi Wasallam for his special knowledge that he did not attain by himself, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him every single thing he knows. This is another verse which shows about the excellent rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go to another verse of Al-Quranul Kareem. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, زَادَهَ اللَّهُ شَرَفًا وَتَعْظِيمًا, the Muslims were still praying in the direction of the first Qibla, Baytul Maqdis. And the non-Muslims would object. They would say, they're not following our deen. They claim to follow another religion, but they face the same Qibla as us. This disturbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, for about a year and a half, the Muslims continued facing Baytul Maqdis. One day it so happened that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in prayer. He was offering salah itself in the masjid which is known as Masjid Qiblatain today, the Masjid of the two Qiblas. And he was facing Baytul Maqdis. Yet in his prayer, he was looking up to the heavens. A command, he wanted a command to arrive. That the Qibla should be changed. Change your direction. This is what his heart desired. The Prophet ﷺ desired this. Wanted this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like he comforted his beloved ﷺ in every other occasion, even here, in Salah, Allah ta'ala revealed a verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. What's that verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem? قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah Ta'ala is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whilst he's in prayer. And he said, we see the frequent raising of your face towards the heavens. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. So most certainly we shall turn you towards the Qibla that you are pleased with. Anybody who has any elementary basic understanding of the Arabic language knows that tardaha means that Allah will change you to a direction that you are pleased with, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wants to please his beloved alayhi salam by fulfilling his desire. The verse continues. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now change your face towards the sacred house, Al-Masjid Al-Haram. The Prophet ﷺ wanted this all along, that we don't want to face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis. The Jews are mocking us. We want Masjid Al-Haram and the Kaaba Al-Musharrafah to be our direction of Qibla, direction of worship. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, turn your face towards the sacred house. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. And O Muslims, wherever you are, turn your face in its direction. Turn your faces in its direction. And the Prophet ﷺ is in prayer. After prayer is complete, facing one direction. During prayer, the Prophet ﷺ turns away from the original Qibla that he was facing and towards Kaaba al-Musharrafah in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The namaz did not break. The namaz did not become invalid. And he completed his salah like this. And the Sahaba did not question anything. They weren't people who questioned, because they knew the Prophet ﷺ is the Sharia, he's the legislator. He has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he will do, it will be with the hukam and idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did exactly the same. And today when people visit Madinatul Munawwara, زَادَهَ اللَّهُ شَرَفًا وَتَعْظِيمًا, they see this beautiful masjid, Masjid Qiblatain. And then they see that area where the Muslims were originally facing. And then obviously we have the Qibla that we face today as well. But from this verse, what do we learn? Again, what do the Mufassirun say? The commentators, what have they written in their tafasir? One Mufassir has said, this incident shows that all people are bound by the law, and the law awaits the will of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever the Prophet ﷺ desires, Allah Ta'ala fulfills that. Allah Ta'ala accepts that as the law. And that's the command for all Muslims now. فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. And the main part of this verse, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. We will soon change you. We will turn you to a direction, a qibla that you prefer, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what do we also learn? That the honor that the Kaaba received, that all the awliya bow their necks towards it, was granted due to the Prophet's sake, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His will made the Kaaba the qibla until the Day of Judgment. So this is the qurba that the Prophet alayhi salam has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if he desires something, Allah ta'ala accepts it. Who amongst creation can say that today? Whenever I desire something, Allah Ta'ala does exactly as I desire. No one can say that. Whereas the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran tells us, until Qiyamah, whatever the Prophet Alaihi Wasallam desires, Allah is ready to fulfill it. So these verses that I've mentioned, few verses, and in reality there are countless verses, hundreds of verses, wherein the shan of the Prophet Alaihi Wasallam has been mentioned by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala himself. If we just look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salam in the Quran when he calls out to him, and how he addresses other messengers alayhi salam, even there's a lesson to be learnt as well. When Allah ta'ala addresses other anbiya alayhi salam and he calls out to them, he mentions the exact name, Ya Ibrahim. Allah ta'ala says, Ya Musa, Ya Isa, Inni mutawaffika. Allah Ta'ala mentions other Anbiya alayhim salam by name. Ya Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik. But when Allah Ta'ala calls out to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not find once in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Muhammad. And this is a subtle point. Ulama have picked up on it. Ulama have commentated on it and written entire books on it. Then look at the difference in the manner of addressing his beloved and the rest of the prophets. Just in that alone, you can understand the great rank of the Prophet alayhi salam. Read those verses. Allah Ta'ala addresses his beloved and says, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, Ya ayyuhal Muzzammil. Using attributes of the Prophet alayhi salam, describing his state when he was enshrouded. Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, Ya ayyuhal Nabi. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an ni tashqa. Yasin, according to Mufassirun, Yasin is the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing his beloved in the most unique and distinctive manner. So a Muslim who has adab for this court, when he reads Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, he will see point after point after point of merit for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will gain somewhat of an understanding of the maqam of the Prophet alayhi salam. We will never kama haqquhu 100% understand the great rank. This is beyond our comprehension. The Prophet alayhi salam said that nobody knows my haqiqa fully except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the more we learn, the more we study the seerah, the more we understand the shan of the Prophet alayhi salam. So this is what's obligatory upon us. This is what we're tasked with, to learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read books like Ash-Shifa bi ta'rifi huquq al-Mustafa of Qadi Ayyad Maliki rahmatullahi alayh. Read the books on Seerah, Seerat ibn Hisham. Alhamdulillah, when you walk out in the bookshop, there's books regarding the Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the English language. There was a time when people would complain and say, our kids, our youngsters, they can't read about the seerah because it's all in Urdu. Or it's in Arabic, the original source text. How are they going to access the seerah? Alhamdulillah, we have the seerah in English as well. So there's no excuse. The way we spend time, learning about our professions, learning about how we can benefit in the dunya, to a greater extent, we need to learn about our akhirah. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we enter, our graves will be shown to us. We will see that blessed countenance, that nurani, luminous face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that beautiful face, that when the sahaba would look at the moon and then look at the face of the Prophet alayhi salam, what was their conclusion? That the Prophet alayhi salam is more beautiful than the moon. On a moonlit night, on the 14th night, the Prophet alayhi salam's beauty is even superior than that. So we need to recognize our Prophet alayhi salam. We need to learn about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to study Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us from verse to verse about the great rank of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Life is very short. We want to be able to say at the end of our lives, whenever that moment comes, Alhamdulillah, we invested time in learning about our Prophet alayhi salam. He taught us about Allah Jalla wa Ala. He taught us about Tawheed. If it wasn't for him, we would be lost. That's the reality. He guided us. The Sahaba knew that. The Sahaba knew about the guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba knew about what Islam gave to them and how much value Islam put in their lives. And today we need to do the same as well. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala enable us to learn about the life of the Prophet Alaihi Wasallam and to teach the prophetic life to our youngsters, our children, and our coming generations as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Glorious in every corner of the world, for the sake of Madinah.